Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, February the 18th, and welcome to our commentary. Just let me just give you a little breaking story. If you're not familiar with this, it happened in the last couple of hours. Former President Carter, his family, the foundation that reports on him just told us that he is entering hospice. He's going to be in a hospice type situation, and he will be at home. Apparently, he has been declining in health. He's 98 years old. It's hard to believe, but you know, he left the White House in 1977, so that means he's been a former president for 46 years. I think both of those are unique. I mean, the fact that he lived to 98, or he's 98 years old, and has been a former president for 46 years. I don't remember anybody with those kinds of numbers, certainly not in recent memory. So we wish President Carter and his family the best. This is one of those times when you want to put the politics out of it totally. Of course, he was elected in 1976 and defeated in 1980. I remember 1976 quite well. That was the first time that I voted in a presidential election. And that year I voted for President Ford. Obviously Jimmy Carter became President Carter that year. And then in 1980, once again, that time I voted against him again. And that was the year that Ronald Reagan defeated President Carter. So, you know, again, I don't want to dwell too much on the politics. We wish President Carter well, but it does look like, the end is near for a pretty good man. I mean, he was a bit misguided in politics, but people who know him will tell you that he's a pretty good man. So we're thinking about President Carter and his family tonight. You know, I have a post coming out Sunday morning talking about the Biden administration, and now they have basically become the blaming Trump administration. Everything is Trump's fault. And there are five stories that highlight that point. First of all, it's Afghanistan. I mean, Afghanistan was a disaster the way we pulled out of there. And now they're blaming it on Trump. They're saying, well, Trump made me do it. Really? Trump made you do what? Leave Afghanistan the way you did? I mean, it is true that President Trump wanted to get out of Afghanistan. But it's also true that he had certain conditions to get out of Afghanistan. And had he been reelected, our departure from Afghanistan would have been totally different. In fact, I'm not even sure we would have left Afghanistan because, as you may remember, most of the military leaders did not want to get out completely. They wanted to leave some kind of a military presence. And I think that's what would have happened under a President Trump in a second term. But the departure from Afghanistan was absolutely, besides leaving billions of dollars in military equipment, including airplanes that we left at those bases. But they're blaming that on Trump, which is pretty remarkable. The other thing they're blaming on Trump is what's happening in Ohio. They're saying that this is because of regulations from the Trump administration. Well, that's not true. That is completely false. And if it's because of regulations or whatever, they could have changed it. I mean, they've been in office for 2 years. They could have reversed all of those. I mean, they certainly reversed enough executive orders, so they could have done something about it if, in fact, those things were on, you know, in the way. But of course, it wasn't. This is this Ohio situation is a disgrace. You know, the way the Biden administration has left these people in Ohio on their own, and now they're saying that they don't qualify for aid. I mean, what does that mean? They don't qualify for aid. I mean, this is a horrific situation. I mean, if anybody should qualify for federal aid, it should be the people of that community in Ohio. But, you know, again, they seem disconnected from reality. We've already talked about the Secretary of Transportation, and, you know, he seems to be living in a fantasy of a planet where all he talks about is diversity and climate change. That seems to be all he talks about. Of course, climate change and diversity have nothing to do with his job, but that's what he talks about all the time. I mean, so the situation in Ohio, if there has ever been a case for the federal government to be involved in helping people, this is it. This is a perfect situation. And yet so far they're not doing it, which is shocking. And you've got, of course, the situation on the border where we have to listen to the press secretary constantly talk about, well, we inherited a mess. No, they didn't inherit a mess. What they actually inherited was a pretty good situation where we had that stay in Mexico policy, and we had a much more strict policy on the border that at least kept the number of people coming in to a much lower number. And it certainly created some standards for people to come in. All of that was demolished by the Biden administration, but they still say, you know, we inherited a mess from Trump. No, they didn't inherit a mess from Trump. They created the mess that they now have. Of course, the other one is President Biden saying that inflation was here when he got here or something like that. Yeah, inflation was here at 1.4%. 1.5% inflation when he got in. What is it now? It's a heck of a lot higher than that. Just ask the American people who go shopping for food on weekends. And then, of course, the situation with the balloons, where they're saying, well, you know, these balloons were here before, and the Trump administration and balloons and all of that. Look, if there had been balloons being around during the Trump administration, there would have been all kinds of leaks. Yeah. About these balloons. So I don't believe it. I don't believe it one bit. But the whole thing about this Biden administration is they're passing the buck. They're saying, you know, the buck stops with the previous guy, instead of saying, hey, we're in charge and we're going to fix these problems. It's on us, because it's on our watch. And let me remind you that we're in the third year of Biden administration. So this is not something, you know, these guys just didn't come in last week. This is their third year. And I tell you, the Secretary of Transportation in particular, he's a disgrace. I just don't know how else to say it. He's a total, complete disgrace, and he should be fired, not resign. He should be fired for just total, absolute disregard for reality. I'll just put it that way, for just total disregard of reality and doing his job of Secretary of Transportation. Just a quick note, I saw something, so this great article that somebody in the news was talking about, this young woman, Greta. You know, everybody knows who Greta is. She's the young woman from, I don't know what country she's from, a European country, I think one of the Scandinavian countries. You know, she's always running around marching about climate change and all of that. And somebody wrote a note saying, you know, when Greta goes in front of the Chinese embassy protesting about climate change, then we'll take her seriously. And that's exactly how I feel. When these climate change people show up in front of the Chinese embassy and start blasting the Chinese government for what they're doing to the environment, when they do that, then call me and I'll take them seriously. But in the meantime, it's hard to take people seriously who are somehow blaming the United States for the world's bad environment, not when you've got China doing a lot more damage. But they don't seem to want to do that. They don't seem to want to go in front of the Chinese embassy and demonstrate. So, you know, they know where the Chinese embassy is. They ought to go to the Chinese embassy and demonstrate against what they're doing to the environment in China. Well, it was a couple of years ago. I want to leave you with this note. It was 2 years ago this week that we learned about Rush Limbaugh passing away. You know, so many of us spent almost 30 years listening to Rush Limbaugh. I started listening to him in 1990. I was traveling to El Paso, Texas, almost every week at that time. And I picked up Rush Limbaugh when I was down there. There was a radio station down there that had him on at 10 o'clock in the morning. That would be my mountain time, 11 o'clock Central Time. And I just, you know, by coincidence started listening to him, and I became a huge fan. And then when I got back to Dallas, I looked around and he was on the radio and I picked him up. And I've been listening to him really, or listened to his show almost continually for 30 years. I mean, it was amazing how successful Rush was on the rail. Well, as you know, he passed away 2 years ago this week, and it was kind of a shock because we learned about it, I guess, in the spring of 2020, and he was able to do the radio show for much of 2020, although toward the end, he started taking a lot of time off because he just couldn't handle it anymore. And then 2 years ago, and I still remember this, 2 years ago this week, I tuned on the radio at 11 o'clock. That's when he used to come on. And his wife came on. And I thought, oh, great, his wife is going to tell us that his recovery is going well or whatever. But, of course, she announced that Rush had passed away earlier. And it was like really a shock, you know. It was like you had lost somebody, because I think a lot of us had a special relationship with Rush. That was one of his abilities as a radio host, to really connect with his audience. He did it as well as any radio host has ever done in the history of radio. And I have to tell you that for the last couple of years, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning, noon, that time frame in the morning, has not been the same without Rush Limbaugh. You really miss Rush. You miss his sense of humor. You miss his political commentary, the little satires that he used to run. I mean, the guy was brilliant. He was one of the great radio people and radio voices in the history of radio, politics aside. He was a genius behind the mic, and we miss him a lot. So Rush Limbaugh passed away 2 years ago this week. And it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. You know, it's like, I think a lot of us, and I don't exaggerate when I say this, but for many of us, Rush was like family, I think. He was like family. Let me say hello to Rocket number 99 listening to us and sending us some kind regards. Thanks, Rocket. Appreciate that. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. On Sunday night, we're going to be getting together with my good friend George Rodriguez. And we're going to talk about the governor of Texas and his state of the state speech the other night, and some talk around there that Governor Abbott may be running for president. I mean, I don't think it's likely, but I wouldn't necessarily discount. Thank you. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.